Well, hello there. It's Bishop Todd again. We are here enjoying God's joy and the love that He allows us to experience moment by moment. I'm really happy to be with you today. We recently took a trip to the Saboba Reservation here in California, and it turned out to be life-changing experience for me. I heard a woman who talked about the loss of her brother-in-law and how really cruel what she did to him. I don't have the freedom to give you the exact details, but I want to tell you this. She said that her family decided not to really press charges, but they were together trying to forgive her for taking away their loved one. And she said the reason why is because the breath of God is all in all of us. Without any of God's breath, there would be no animation. There would be no life. And so the ministers that rode up there with me, it really, really touched our hearts, because we had talked about us as African Americans asking for forgiveness for how when they were going through their times of oppression and prejudice in our country, that I don't believe that we came to their rescue in supporting them, especially at Wounded Knee. I know that was a terrible thing, but it's time for all of us to forgive one another. And that's what I'm talking about, forgiveness, and I'm talking about also the abundant life of what happens with us when we become Christians. Let me pray. Lord, just help us today. You know our hearts. You know who's going to listen and who's not, but help us to be able to allow your spirit to touch their spirits and bring about a change. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We felt very seldom, I think, about something as important as breathing. We just take it for granted. But the breath of God in all of us, good or bad, short or tall, good looking or otherwise, we all have His breath giving us life. Unless we are incapacitated and are connected to a machine of some type. You know, brothers and sisters, she's right. We don't really have the right to take someone's life. But God shows us that it's going to be a time when all of us are going to have to be separated based on what we believe and who we have decided to trust our lives with. And He has the right to separate us because He's our Creator. And if you're a believer, if you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, He is your Father. So, one of the things I've been shown in the Word is that we got to start doing what God requires of us. And one of the things that He requires of us is basically that we need Him in abundance. We need to have that abundant life that He talks about we will gain when we trust Jesus with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. In John, it also says that we need to understand that there's a new commandment that He gives us. And that is to love our brothers and sisters. the way Jesus loved his disciples. He said to love people the way he loves. And I said, Lord, that is impossible for me. I don't have the power to do that. But the only way to have that kind of power is to let him flow through, his power flow through me, to invite him to live inside of me. So, as I look through the Word, I look at things, and almost every word has this life in it. It can breathe in us once we, it's a living word. It's, ruach is the breath of God flows through us. And I just don't want to hurt anybody who has that breath in them, no matter what they've done. That's why we have to live in a system, a world that has systems for justice and protection for those who can't protect themselves, who cannot take care of themselves. I guess I'm too idealistic for down in this world. But I know in the world to come, Jesus will be ruling. And he'll be ruling with his almost unbelievable capacity to love everybody. So I'm trying to be like him, but I just ain't got there yet, y'all. I try. But when people do things to people, some of the cruel things that people do to people, I realize that I need help. I need the help of Jesus for that one commandment, that new commandment. So let's look at, I want to go to Psalms. And it talks about what God requires of us. And I'm reading on the one I use, the Good News Bible, that everybody who's a King James person talks about. I think all the translations can be utilized for good if you know how to search them. But it says, Lord, who may enter your temple? Who may worship on Zion, your sacred hill? The answer. I love the way the Bible is set up. It usually has, it's a dual, it's a parallelism, a parable. It's two clauses, two sentences that come together and give wisdom. One will maybe answer your question, and then another one, and then the next one might give the answer. It might be two or more. But eventually, it's going to get to the point. And it does it in twos. It's kind of a, they call it a Chokmah wisdom way of teaching. It's repetitive without it, it's a repetition of not the words, but a repetition of thought. So that you get it. Eventually, you'll get it. If you keep reading the word, you'll get it. Says again, let me start again. Lord, who may enter your temple? Question. Who may worship on Zion, on your sacred hill? It says, two, a person who obeys God in everything and always does what is right, whose words are true and sincere, and who does not slander others. I think that's going to knock a lot of folk out in church. Oh boy, it's time to repent. It's time to start loving people with all you got. As we see the way this world is coming, what it's coming to, we need to really, really, really change our role, as they say. He does no wrong to his friends and does not spread rumors about his neighbors. He despises those whom God rejects, but honors those who obey the Lord. He always does what he promises, no matter how much it may cost. He makes loans without charging interest. Wow, you better not go to some of these banks today. And cannot be bribed to testify against the innocent. Whoever does these things will always be secure. That's an abundant life right there, without even seeing it. What does God require? You know what? Parents, I know that you have struggled with your children sometimes to get them to clean their room, make sure they take out the garbage or the trash. But you know, you're the one that's running that household. And those who live there need to be obedient to your instructions. I don't think there's anything wrong with that when God says he requires some things for us. I don't think a lot of us haven't taken out the trash in a long time. A lot of us have not been respectful or obedient. Especially when he wants us to love everybody. A lot of us just, who believe him? I'm talking about believers now. A non-believer, that's a whole different story. But I'm just talking to believers right now. We got to realize that God has requirements for us. Not just to talk about feeding the hungry, but to feed the hungry. And if it's not being done, to do what we have to do to deal with our lawyers and lawgivers and all the church leadership and all the others who can play a part in making this become a reality for God. Because he requires it. But he says he'll bless you when you do it. I think that's just wonderful. I think God is just so wonderful. He was so wonderful that he said he knew that we couldn't do these things. And he knew that mankind needed to see somebody who could show him how to do it. I did a study on the Messiah, about the Messiah, the idea of a Messiah. And it came from in Judaism, it was historically, it came down that the people needed somebody they could look to represent them to God, to tell them all about their struggles. They didn't know that God is everywhere. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all-seeing, all-knowing, and all-powerful. But he said, I know they have to touch. They have to touch God. And the book of John says that our hands have handled, you know, the word of life. That God became a human being. That Jesus is God's idea, the icon of who, so they can know what God is like and who he is and how he talks and how he loves people and how he stands up for those who are the underdog and those who are poor, those who have nothing. There are some people who are so poor they have nothing. Jesse Jackson would say, you're not poor, you're just broke. Broke is a temporary situation. Poor is a matter of heart and mind. You can't recover from that, except you have someone to help you. I thank God that he helped me. I could have been a terrible person. I had a terrible, terrible temper. And I was mean with a smile. But if I didn't like you, I could hurt you pretty bad. But I thank God for football. Football saved me. Made me realize that there is order out of chaos, and that we need to learn how to do that with a code that we need to establish in ourselves, and to know that there's somebody right there on that team. If you don't make that block, they won't be able to score the winning touchdown. It puts it on me, not anybody else. So I thank God for football. I really do. Thank him for my coaches. I thank him for they made it possible for me to go to college, for playing football, something I love, and to give me things along the way to keep me focused on life, and to understand the things my father was going through. Or another teammate, his father had Rolls Royce and a Bentley and all this. My father was driving a 56 Buick Roadmaster. He even had one car that it was a 54 Plymouth and a Savoy. And the reverse went out on it. And whenever it was time that we had to park, we had to get the kids and got to push the car. They parked the car. Oh, I tell you, but my father is something else. Yeah, he taught me to love the Lord, even though he knew that I had a bad temper. But even anger, used in the right way, can get you a scholarship. Amen, Walls. Okay, let's go on. So that introduced, it made it possible for me to have the abundant life. Let's look at another, and if I got time, I don't know if I have time or not. Hey, we got a few minutes. Let's look at Psalm 16, because I really love the Psalms. There's so much poetry. And you know, brothers, sisters, I don't think a lot of you know that a lot of hip-hop music is poetry, you know? Tupac was a poet, you know? Biggie Smalls, this guy was a poet. And God is trying to let us, even through their poetry, let us know about injustice and things that were not right in the world. Yeah, I know, they have there are other things that they were looking at, but they were growing up just like we had to grow up. If they were here today, I'm sure their rap would be still true and still telling us about the injustices that are in the world. That's what poets and prophets do. And those are the people I'm trying to reach now, so they can help change the world. The poets and the prophets, so they can work together to tell the truth in a way that people will hear it. Because a lot of times in church, people don't want to hear the truth. Sometimes they want to just hear the same thing about how they're going to get their money. Well, I guess some of these guys out there, they say this thing, don't mess with my money, don't mess with my, you know, my gal, don't mess with my car or whatever. But it sounds like church folks got trying to get the same thing. I don't know. But you know what? The truth is the truth. You know, we all need to be able to survive. I worked at one time trying to help some of the guys who were in the gangs. And some of them were trying to change by, they used to work in the summer. They had summer jobs. And they used those summer jobs to help pay for their clothing and their the stuff that they needed for school. And all of a sudden, Title 20 stopped having the program, but the guy told me, he said, man, why we have those programs? And he used to be a Crip. He said, as long as we had those programs, we didn't get in any trouble. We had a job. And I see now that most of the problems we have is in the world because people can't take care of themselves adequately, take care of their families, and to worship their God in the way they want to worship. No, no, you said it doesn't sound like a Christian to me. Well, I can tell you one thing. I'm a Jesus. I believe in Jesus and in you now. I believe in Christ. I believe in God the Father and the Holy Spirit. I believe in the true Word of God. I believe that the Bible is stated truly. It tells us that the devil says bad things about Jesus. But I'm gonna let you know that I believe in the truth in the Word, but I don't believe in Christianity anymore. I believe in being a Christian, but I think Christianity is turning into an institution that is crooked, mean, and covers up filth, low down, dirty, and anything else you can say on the radio that's not, that can be said. So don't get mad at Pastor Todd that he's saying this thing. I think Christianity is a problem. It's become an institution. It's no longer a living organism. But being a Christian, an anointed one, someone's trying to be like the anointed one. His name is Jesus or Yeshua. Mashiach. It's describing who he is. It's a title. It's describing. But his name is I Am. Hallelujah. So don't get mad if I say, you know, I believe in Jesus and me. You might want to jump on board yourself, because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if we start loving and acting like Jesus, the world will change for the good. Even though we know there's evil in the world, and it will continue until he returns. But for now, just hold that thought. Our time is about done. God bless you. I love you. We'll talk to you some more next time. All right?